It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Barn dances have been around since there have been barns, but a big old barn on a farm in rural Maquoketa has taken that very old tradition and turned it into something really special. After decades of holding hay and farm implements, the barn is now called Codfish Hollow, and it regularly hosts live music played in front of sold-out crowds. Since things got rolling in 2009, luminaries like Norah Jones and the Counting Crows have played there along with many, many rising stars in indie music. Tiffany Beal is the woman behind this unique venue, and she is here with me now. Hello, Tiffany.
Hi.
So how did this get started? How did you get the idea of turning this barn into a music venue?
Well, it all started back in July of 2009. My husband's good friend knew what Day Trotter was, and that's a recording studio out of the Quad Cities. And we had never heard of Day Trotter at the time, but he sent me an email saying that the founder of Day Trotter was looking for cool barns around the tri-state area here, Illinois, Iowa, you know, Wisconsin, to bring his, he had an idea for a barnstorming tour to bring bands around to local barns, and he was looking for cool barns. And I should email this guy pictures of a barn, and I kind of put it off for a while, and he bugged me about it, and I finally got around to it. And then Sean Muller, the founder of Day Trotter, came out. I think it was like about 10 or 12 days before we actually had the first show, looked at the barn. It was all full of hay and a tractor, and there was cows underneath. And he looked at it and he said, cool, yeah, let's do this.
Wow. Well, and it is a special barn. It's a really unusual shape. It's kind of a domed barn. Tell me a little bit about the history.
My grandpa, Arnold Stamp, he built that barn in 1954. Actually, like him and some other people built it, but with his own hands. And I guess when he finally finished it, he had a little barn dance. And as far as we can tell, there's a few people that are still alive today that were there, but they were kids. They say, you know, they don't remember the bands that played, but they think it was maybe just, you know, neighbors with harmonicas and fiddles, you know, that came to celebrate that it was built. So that was the first time it saw music. And then after that, it's just been in my family. I used to bale hay there when I was a kid.
How long has the farm been in your family?
The farm has been in our family since 1861, when my grandpa's grandpa came over from Germany. The house that we have down there that we call the art gallery that's falling down, my grandpa was born in that house. And my grandpa's dad built that house. And before that, my grandpa's grandpa had a little log cabin up a little bit further up the hill in the bluffs.
Wow. So much family history there. Now, that first concert that you held in 2009, did you think that was going to be kind of a one-time thing?
Yeah, we didn't really know what to expect at that point. I thought it would, you know, wow, bands coming out here. It's going to be wild. You know, I didn't know what to expect at all, but after the first show, like I said, it was a tour, and we had so much fun. We just followed the bands. They played in Bellevue after that, and then they played in Iowa City the next couple of days, and we just followed them. We were like, wow, that was so awesome. And the bands all told us that out of all the barns that they played for that show, that this was their favorite. So we were like, yeah, let's just keep doing this and see where it goes.
Well, and of course, for that first concert, you cleaned out the barn, you swept the floor, you made a big open space for the band. But things have changed a lot since then. How have you turned this into a concert venue?
Well, basically, it's just like we're trying to keep up. my husband, like for that first show, we didn't have a stage. We got the cows out from underneath, but there was still, you know, the cow leavings, I should say, underneath. So there was no green room or bar like we have now. And you know, the food vendor was in a different place. There was no food court. Yeah, my husband built a stage. He just raised it this year. And we built a sound booth. We've bought in like double the amount of electricity. When we had the Counting Crows out here, we actually blew the transformer out on the road for that, and they had generators, so it worked out, but for about maybe 45 minutes, we ran off the generators for that show. So we doubled the electricity. What else? We're always involved in the next project.
Well, and what's a concert experience like at Codfish Hollow? I mean, first you drive way out in the country. You've put up signs that reassure people that they're not lost.
Yes, and it's just as much for the bands as for the concert goers, too. The bands usually call me like, I'm here, and where am I? Am I in the right place? I don't know. So, yeah, we put up the signs. You drive about 4.5 miles up northeast of Maquoketa, and it's a gravel road. And then you pull down a dead-end road, and you pull into the parking lot camping area, which is a cow pasture. And you park there and set up camp if you're going to. And then you wait for Marvin Franzen. He's our hired man. He drives the hay rack all night long from the top of the hill where the parking area camping place is down to the barn. And he's worked for our family for over 60 years now. But now he just does the hay rack rides.
Well, and you mentioned the parking lot. So the parking lot doubles as a campground if people want to stay?
Yep, there's an area for parking, and then off a little bit further out into the field a little bit further is where people camp. They set up the tents. Sometimes they bring campers. We've had, like, the Red Bull tour bus out there, party buses, you name it. They've been in the cow pasture.
When you decided to let people camp there, were you nervous about that at all? I mean, you're inviting people to stay on your farm.
Yeah, we were nervous kind of about the whole thing. Like, what is this going to be like? But overall, it's been a really good experience. The people that come out here, they have to drive so far to get here. You know, they're here for the music and they're here for the experience. And it's been good. People are very respectful.
Where do the bands stay?
A lot of times they stay in our house. I'd say like 95% of the barn, the bands stay here in a house with us.
Wow. And so they're guests in your home. You make them breakfast, things like that?
Yep. Depending on when they show up, sometimes they show up the day of the show for breakfast. I make them breakfast and lunch. And then we make them, you know, their evening meal and the after party food. And then they stay overnight and I make them breakfast again. Yep.
How often do you do shows?
When we started, it was only one or two a year, and then it got to be maybe one a month, and then, you know, I would like it to be about two a month, because that's about what we, can handle and feel comfortable with the cleaning up and getting ready. But, July, we have five.
Oh, my gosh.
July. So that's going to be a little test, but, yeah. Sometimes you just can't say no, and there's a lot of bands that are wanting to play here right now, so we'll see.
Well, and so the bands that you had on that first night, that first experience, that barnstorming tour, they all said, oh, this was our favorite barn to play in. But, I mean, clearly word has spread and you've become a real attraction, not just for music lovers, but for bands as well. What do you think it is about Codfish Hollow that keeps people coming?
We'd like to think it's the hospitality towards the bands. That's like our number one goal around here, is to make sure the bands have a really good experience while they're here, because it's not easy being on the road. So we try to give them the most hospitality we can while they're here. And if the bands are having a good time and are feeling great, then, you know, that means they're going to put on a good show, and then it's the fans are going to have a good time. And that's what's happened. Bands have told other bands, you know, about it, and we have bands contacting us saying, hey, our friends, you know, told us we need to play this place, and we checked it out and it looks totally cool, you know, we want to play. So it's really been like word of mouth between the bands, I think.
And is that how it works? Do they contact you? I mean, most places are always trying to book acts and asking people to come, but you have people asking you if they can come.
Yeah, I mean, for a while we were, you know, trying to get some of the bigger bands and contacting them, but now it's kind of like, oh, we've got enough for this month, but now this band wants to play here, so how can we say no to that? So, yeah, now it's the bands want to play here.
So tell me about some of your favorites. What are some of the highlights for you over the last 7 years?
every show is special. There's the big names, of course, that have been, you know, really exciting, like the Counting Crows and Nora Jones and John C. Reilly. And we just had Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros, and that's always really exciting. But maybe for my husband and I, some of our favorite shows have been shows that maybe most people wouldn't know who they are, but they're bands that we liked back in high school. And just to have those people playing here and seeing them on stage and standing there listening to it, and you just can't believe, you know, you can't believe that this band that I've always loved, you know, that these people are here now, you know, playing in my barn. And that would include, like, Miracle Legion, Mark Mulcahy, and the Baseball Project with members of REM. That's one of our favorite bands. Just shows where we've just stood there and cried while they were playing. That's probably our, you know, most special shows.
Were you always really into music, or is this something that just kind of happened to you?
It kind of happened to us, but we've always loved music. I mean, who doesn't? I mean, doesn't everyone love music? I don't know. But it did just kind of happen to us.
On your website, you make sure that people know that it's a family-friendly environment. Do you have kids that come with people?
Oh, yes, all the time. There's always kids there. We hand out glow sticks, and they have a good time. We have babies out there with little, you know, the headphones covering their ears, you know. Yeah, it's really like families are out there, and they put their blankets in the grass and bring their lawn chairs. And yeah, and we have artists and vendors down below with face painting and stuff like that. So yeah, it really is a family environment.
Now, with I know you sell food, you have a bar, you have these artists and vendors. Where do all of those people come from? Are they local from Maquoketa or what?
We have a good friend who's an artist, and I finally had to pass some of the responsibilities along to a lot of our friends, because my husband and I just can't do everything anymore. So we have a good artist friend, and she puts together all of the vendors and artists that come out for every show. Yeah, they're mostly local from Quad Cities, Dubuque, across the river over in Illinois. Yeah. And they just contact us, too. They want to come out and show their stuff. And she puts it all together for us.
Now, I know you're having a very, very busy summer. Tell me about some of the people who are coming.
Well, this Saturday we have Built to Spill. They're coming back. They were here last year, and they joked that they were just going to add this to their tour schedule every year. And I guess they weren't joking because they're back. Who else do we have? I've got five in July. We've got KT Tunstall coming, and Tallest Man on Earth in July. Miracle Legion, like I said, they're coming back. They're one of our favorites. Dinosaur Jr. Will be playing here in July. The Baseball Project. Got Jenny Lewis, Kurt Vile, the Mountain Goat. And I think we're going to have our first festival this year. We're still setting that up, and that'll happen sometime in September.
Wow, so very, very busy. And you mentioned KT Tunstall, and, you know, I know a lot of these musicians come from cities, and KT Tunstall comes from England. I mean, when you bring when you bring people to your barn, are there musicians who've just never seen anything like this ever before?
Yes. They're like, oh, what are these things flying in the air? Oh, yeah, those are lightning bugs or fireflies, you know. They're just like, wow, I've never seen so much green in my life. You know, we're used to playing in the cities, and there's cement and, you know, nightclubs. And it blows some of their minds. Yeah.
Now, listening to you talk about this, it sounds like in many ways it's really taken on a life of its own. Do you ever feel overwhelmed, like maybe things have gone too far?
Every day. but not in a bad way. You know, it's just like, oh, goodness, what do we need to do now to keep up with this? That's basically how we feel every day, keeping up. It does have a life of its own. It's dragging us forward into the future, I guess. But it's been awesome so far. So, I mean, really, really can't, you know, wait to see where it takes us.
Well, and when you started this back in 2009, I'm sure there are people who've come and played in your barn that you just never dreamed you would have had there. So now that you've been at this for 7 years or so, who are some of your dream acts that you hope will come in the future?
I am.
You make that happen, and I will be there.
Yes, I am.
All right, that's the number one. And, I mean, you already had one of your recent shows sold out online in 2 minutes.
So, it was 90 seconds.
Oh, 90 seconds.
Yes. Yep.
That must be a little mind-blowing.
Yes, it was. I was sitting there watching it. I was like, what? Yeah, that was crazy.
Do you guys ever think of expanding the venue in the future? I know that this is the barn that your grandfather built, but do you think about that?
No, I think that we like it, that it's pretty, you know, it's a small venue, and that's kind of what makes it special. We don't really want it to get any bigger. And so, you know, the shows we have out here are very small and intimate, and I think that's what a lot of the bands like. They can connect with the fans, and a lot of places where they wouldn't, you know, they would be in the green room or protected by security, and they never really, you know, get to meet the fans. Out here, they walk through the crowd and they shake hands, and that's part of what makes it special, I think. So, no, I think we'll just stay the size that we are.
Where does the name Codfish Hollow come from?
Oh, it's the name of the road out here. We've asked people, there's actually been an article in the paper, in our local paper, like, where does it come from? And I think it was because the best they can tell is there's Scandinavians that used to live in this area, and they ate the salted codfish.
I don't know. It's got a certain magical quality to it, though, Tiffany. I think it is resonating with people no matter what.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you.
Tiffany Beal of Codfish Hollow, a unique music venue in rural Maquoketa. We'll go out with Built to Spill. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.